Today's Perek in Tanakh is Melachim Aleph, Perek Chof Aleph. So let's think about where we are today before we continue. We found, first of all, a very striking moment in yesterday's Perek, in which the lion has reappeared. And the reappearance of that lion in the context of the Navi's telling Ahav what is going to be, Nafshecha tachat nafsho ve'amcha tachat amo, is very, very suggestive, is it not? Because what's happened is that the warning of the end of Yerovam at a very early stage when he was standing up on that Mizbeach was achieved in exactly the same way, where someone didn't listen to the Dvar Hashem and in not listening paid to the lion. And this is exactly what's happening to Ahav. And indeed, this signals now, first of all, the continued presence of the Neviut, which will be always the foil for Malchut Yisrael from the very beginning, in exactly the same way. But it also signals the way that Ahav is graduating to, as we'll see in today's parak, actually take the place of Yerovam ben Nevat. And it's from this point on that instead of referring back to Kol Chatot Yeravam, it now goes back to Kol Chatot Ahav. And there's very, very good reason for this. Because up until this point, what we've seen is the pure success of Yerovam. The only one who was truly successful with Yerovam's approach was Ahav. Because Omri had recreated the Malchut with exactly the same ideas as Yerovam, but Yerovam had never put into place a center for the Malchut that could take the nature of Brit, take the place of the nature of Brit. Omri was the one who recognized, and as a matter of fact, it was because of that recognition that he had the schut of three generations that would be actually a Beit Melucha for Omri. Omri was the one who recognized the value of substituting Eretz Yisrael and Lo'om for Torah and Mitzvot. And that doesn't mean that it necessarily had to be running against Torah or Mitzvot. As far as Ahav is concerned, it's clear that he doesn't care one way or the other. In other words, the elements of religion are unimportant to him because they don't function as the centerpiece of the Malchus. It's exactly what Yerovam really wanted to achieve. Because as long as the growth of the Malchut is predicated on something that is basically the God of the machine. I mean, that's what it boils down to. Because nobody is really ready for what it is that Shlomo claims they're ready for. Nobody wants to pay the price. Nobody wants to give their lives. So therefore, that element of the Malchus is always machina. And the worst thing about Malchus, as we've seen from the beginning of David, avoid the mechanical. The nature of Malchut is the emergent. You begin discussing mechanics on any level. As we saw, David refused to budge. He wouldn't move his hand. And the one time he moved his hand, where he just took a little piece of cloth off of Shaul. He paid for that movement of his. There's nothing mechanical at all in Malchut. As far as Yerovam was concerned, religion is mechanical, which is certainly the case. We even talk about it. We use that word. People go through the motions mechanically. The relationship to a Brit, where you're not really holding to the level of that Brit, is exactly where Har Sinai went wrong, Kaf Aleihem Har Chagigit, is where Shlomo went wrong. All of these ideas of expansionism and grandeur and so on didn't work, and is exactly what needed to be dealt with, says Yerovam, and I'm going to bring it out. Ask the people whether they want to pay this kind of taxes. And as we pointed out, this is exactly the words of Harrison's song. The idea of people who are not Oved Hashem is forgive them, Lord, for those who feel they can't afford you. And that's exactly what Yerovam showed. They can't afford you. The moment they feel they can't afford you, you know that you're dealing with mechanics. Either this is your life, or it's a bunch of garbage. And therefore, to build what's supposedly an emergent Malchus on something that is unreal can only be destructive. So Omri does this. Ahav becomes extremely successful in doing it. And you see that wherever it has something to do with the identity, the underlying identity, as long as we all share that, that is a valid basis for Malchus. And if the underlying identity is not Shmirat HaMitzvot, but the Kiddush of the Sefer Torah, that's enough. So if you have nowadays an underlying identity in which the entire country shuts down because it's Yom Kippur, and nobody objects to shutting down because it's Yom Kippur, that is the equivalent of Achav's willingness to fight for the Sefer Torah. That alone is sufficient to provide the zechut for a malchut that is obviously based around something that integrates you, a liba brit, but is not mechayev you for the malchut being every last detail of integrating the entire nature of Yisrael. And therefore, indeed, when a group attempts to artificially create that, the result is disaster. The word that they use is kfiya. Kafal emar chekikit. Kfiya datit is horrific. Whether God is the kofeh, or man is the kofeh, or religion is the kofeh, it cannot work. And the liberalism of Achav is brought out in this today's parak, in which you think that a king can do what he wants, and Achav could not do what he wants. So we were talking about a principled malchut, where the principles, in the end, destroyed him in yesterday's story, in which his liberalism, that allowed him to respond now on the level of the malchut, without taking advantage of the Neviut Hashem, he was given over Aram in ways that were supernatural. And then to immediately revert to, okay, now we can discard the supernatural. And that was an impossible contradiction. But the deeper pattern here is that both Elio and Achav were destroyed by the face-off. In other words, everything was going just fine until Elio decided, and this was the time against Elio, until Elio decided that, well, I can't take it anymore. So I'm going to bring things to a head. There's not going to be any rain until this is dealt with. The fact is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, well, there is going to be rain, and it's not going to be dealt with. And that's when he has to give back the Mafteach. And he's yelling, but I don't want to give this back, because they haven't done tshuva yet. Well, then I'm not giving you the key to Triyat Amitim. Which one do you want? All of that sounds like this childish back and forth. But the truth is that we see from the story that the moment of synthesis in which Vayishanes Botnav, and he runs in front of the chariot of Achav, was for one moment. And at that moment, Achav was a mensch, and Elio was a mensch, and it was the chance that they would get things together. Izevel's response, is it absolutely real? Let me ask you something. Is it 100% clear that Achav would have been ro'ui for the Navi to come? And when he says, b'kni'ah, so who's going to lead this army? Would the Navi have said, ata, if it hadn't been for the Ma'amad on Har Carmel? Has Achav not shown himself by going together with Ovadia and looking for the Mayim, by reducing himself to having no one with him when he would be traveling back from Israel, in which Elio had to be showing Kavod L'Malchus? Wasn't that a rebuilding of the Malchus in a completely different way? Wasn't that the reason that now Achav was no longer functional as a purely secular king? The tearing apart of Elio from Achav subsequently, which was Izevel's doing, Achav never went along with it. Is Elio 100% correct in saying, they're going to take my soul? You know that they're going to take your soul. Because Izevel says, it's only going to last for 24 hours. And how about the milchama with Aram? And how about the year that passes after the milchama with Aram? In which once again there are nisim that are done. How about all those things? So had Elio not withdrawn, is it possible that Achav wouldn't have been left such a schlepper? Look what happens to him. He's completely unprepared for the milchama with Aram, the first time. Completely unprepared. Yes, sir. Whatever you say, sir. My wife, my kids. Exactly what you say in an Israeli bank when you're taking out a loan. That's it. Whatever you say. Arvut. See, he's completely unprepared. So the Navi tells him, I'm giving you a year to prepare. The next battle, you're going to have to integrate what you've seen today with the nature of your malchut. It doesn't do a darn thing. All he's got is his storage rooms full of weapons that look like little sheep coming down off of the completely defensive. He doesn't have a plan. What's the big plan now? To fight Aram. When Aram, they understand, is going to be coming now with new ideas. Now they're in Afek. What's his plan? Doesn't have any. Like the Pasuk said yesterday, what an idiotic thing. You've got this immense army that's spread across the entire valley as far as the eye can see. And you have a couple of Jews that are trying to climb down the mountain. They face off for 7 days, obviously, because the Jews are scared to do anything. And because they're not going to go up into the mountains. As they said, we're going to go into the mountains. When you're ready to come out and fight, we'll fight you. So it's a completely defensive war now. This was his big idea, that the Navi warned him. In a year from now, to the date, you're going to have to deal with this. You better be mitchazek. He wasn't mitchazek. Suppose Elio had stuck there with him. Would he not have been able to be the melech he was with the respect and understanding of what ultimately needs to be achieved? Because that's what makes the difference. When you lose sight of where you're going completely, and that's the whole point of Elio, as we've seen. Elio is the sight that we have of an olam of tikkun. The sight that we have of Gan Eden. It's what we talk about when we're at a Brit Milah. It's what we talk about when we deal with our identity at the Seder of Pesach. It's what we talk about in terms of our doubts when it comes to Torah. So if Elio hadn't removed himself from the proceedings completely and forced his own removal by being such a kanoi, would Achav indeed have been successful? He was zocha twice to supernatural events, to Nevi'ahs that was giving over things to him. Melech Yisrael, the Navi is begging him, Melech Yisrael, I'm calling you Melech Yisrael, do something, stop being an idiot. He apparently comes out of the face-off with Elio worse than he was before. Just like Elio comes off with a face-off with Achav worse than he was before in terms of his ability to deal with reality. I want to die, just let me die. That's exactly what happens to Achav. Sar v'zaif. Oh, forget about it, I can't take it, can't handle it, I don't know how to deal with these Nevi'im. Everything that I do is never right. Of course it's never right. It really is never right. Because you can't vacillate between being a supernatural king or being a completely secular king, and there's nothing that synthesizes the elements that Yeravam always had in mind. Now that synthesis, that was clearly what he was looking for. We know that because that's Yosef. This is Malchut Yosef. Contrast what is going on here with Achav to what is going on in Yehuda. It's classic Yosef and Yehuda. There is Yehuda closed up in their little city of Yerushalayim, doing the Avoda, and as Yehoshaphat says in the big speech, you know, that they give over to all of the Chayalim, as you know, we are the ones, Rechavam, we are the ones that bring Karbanos every day and that we have the menorah. Come off it, baby. But so what are you doing? You have a malchus of religion, and it's really wonderful. Well, what do you do with this malchus? We don't do anything. We stay indoors, and we stick to our cities and our walls. We don't hear anything. They're not doing anything. The first time that they do something is in the coming parak, where all of a sudden now they're looking to get together. And that's, of course, the Vayigash moment that's supposed to work but doesn't work. So contrast that with Achav, who begins just taking over from Omri. He's got this little city of Shomron. Shomron is also Sagur and Mesugar in a sense, surrounded by mountains, small place. It's not a particularly grand place to be. It's not the place that they're necessarily doing their main things from. We talked about Shechem, we talked about Yitzhar. So he's locked up in Shomron, in a sense, in the beginning. What happens? He gradually expands. He's taken over Aram. We find him 500 miles away, outside of the Gevulot of Eretz Yisrael, fighting in the Euphrates, sending hundreds of tanks. So he is now in an expansionist mode, which is exactly what Yosef is all about. Connecting with all of these people. He's got over 200 people that represent families of Malachim across the globe. These are the ones that were supposed to be used to go out now to fight Aram. So it's a completely different Yosef Yehuda breakdown, in which Yosef's entirety was always the synthesis of the life of Olam Hazeh with the clarity of what the nature of Brit is. And this is why the Elio Malach HaBrit is exactly what was missing. Take that away. Heferu Britcha Yisrael. And that's what you want to shout about. This is what happened when he was Pinchas. You have a disaster. Because then already there's no synthesis. And the whole point was synthesis. So what's happened is that Yosef has fallen down to the lowest point of Yosef, the Nisyonot of Yosef himself. And Yehuda has fallen to where Yehuda falls without the expansion of connection to Yosef. There's nothing in common. We're getting to the point where both sides recognize that they need each other. And unfortunately, because of the lack of the ability to synthesize, they end up being unable to synthesize themselves with each other, as we'll see. But we are now at a stage, which is a remarkable stage, in which after all of this, Achav recognizes that he needs to build Shomron. He needs to expand Shomron. He needs to make it an international city. And there's clearly, as we're going to see, a very strong group that is mitnaged to Achav, that feels that the lack of having a Jewish center to the Malchut is tremendously destructive, and they look at him as an absolute no good. But, as we'll see, these are not the finest people either. Not the finest people because they live on hypocrisy. And we are about to enter the tkufa of lies, in which even Nevi'im lie, because they've been turned aside by a lying spirit. And we will see, as the Gemara in Chulin darshens, Melech makshiv al dvar sheker, kol mishartav rishaim is a reference to Achav. He's a makshiv al dvar sheker. He's interested in lies. He likes plastering the truth. And so what happens is, so it's specifically after these things happen. So in other words, it's before the gezeira on him, nafshecha tachat nafsho, is taken. And it's now a change that he feels needs to be addressed. On the surface, it appears silly. Kerem hayal navot ha-Yisraeli asher b'Yisrael. Eitzel heichal Achav melech shomron. Now, first of all, who gave Achav the right to take the nachal? I mean, this belongs to somebody, right? But a melech has a right to take. So if heichal, I mean, according to some, the intent over here was the expansive Avodah Zarah. That's what Tosfos suggests that we just had in Sanhedrin before. That maybe what Achav wanted to do was expand the Heichal for Avodah Zarah, so that the gun that he now requests from Kerem, from the Kerem Navot, is to be Hamit Kachim El Haganot. It's part of Avodah Zarah. One possibility that Tosfos suggested we just had on Davchov. But in any event, there's a Kerem that belongs to Navot who has his chelek in Israel, which Achav doesn't. He's not Achav a Israeli. And therefore it says, Asher b'Yisrael, that's where he's from. And it now abuts the Heichal of Achav. Vaydaber Achav el Navot lemor, t'nali et karmecha, give me your vineyard. V'yili legan yarak, I want it to be a, now some learn this is vegetable garden, which is a little bit silly, because vegetables are not, I mean, it's absurd. Achav wanted a little vegetable plot. I mean, vegetables were considered to be an insult for a melech to eat, as we'll see. We'll see later on with the time of Chizkiyo. You're supposed to show your gvura by eating meat. Serious things. Hated broccoli. And you make a point of hating broccoli. Excellent. That is excellent, right? Real presidents don't eat quiche. That's what it's all about. So now, to say he wanted a gan yarak, it makes much more sense he wanted a green garden. Meaning that he wanted, instead of the very prosaic city that he had, he wanted to start expanding now. What it is that Shomron stands for. So as part of his international expansion, there should be an expansion of Sharon. They're telling me to be a Melech Yisrael. Okay. So what does he do? He sends this message to Navot, or he speaks to him directly even. Vayadaber Achav el Navot, lemor, t'nali et karmecha, give me your kerem, V'ili legan yarak, ki hu karov etzal beti, it abuts now my palace. V'etna lecha tachtav kerem tov bimeno, I will give you something better. Or if you like, im tov b'enecha etna lecha kesev mechir zeh. I'm willing to give you the full price of your kerem. The same way that Omri purchased the whole city. It was a purchase. And in fact, they saw that purchase being very similar to the purchase of the Mokom HaMizbeach and the entire idea of collecting money from all the Shvatim at Bedavka, buying the Mokom HaMikdash instead of conquering the Mokom HaMikdash. So this became the Goren of Aranan HaVusi. Very good. Vayomer Navot El Achav Chalila Limi Adonai Mititiet Nachalat Avotai Lach. Well, that's one way of reading it. The other way of reading it, Chalila Limi Adonai Mititiet Nachalat Avotai Lach. You rotten no goodness. I have a Nachalah. You don't. You know what the Nachalah of Bnei Yisrael is. You seem to have forgotten. If he hadn't thrown in that word Lach, there would have been no basis to try him for treason. But he threw in that little word. That's a very nasty word. Chas v'sholem, to give the Nachalah that I have to you. You could say, I can't be Mavater on my Nachalah. This is a slap in the face. And it's clearly meant to be a slap in the face. And Achav takes it as a slap in the face. As a matter of fact, the whole thing is an amazing story. How in the world does somebody who lives next door to a monarch who's empowered to do what he wants just say no? And to say no in this overt no. So Tosfos asks this kasha. Not only Tosfos, everybody asks. The Midrashim asks this kasha. The Zohar asks this kasha. What about when the Gemara said we had before, Kol Mashikatuv in the Parshat HaMelech, Melech Mutarbo. What does it say there in Parshat HaMelech? The Metav Karmechem he can take. The guy's being very nice. He says, I want to pay. All he needed to do was say, eminent domain. We need this for the expansion of the government center. What's the problem? Oh, one Teretz in Tosfos says, maybe he should have. That's exactly what Tosfos says. That din of he'll take is that he'll take. But if he's coming to buy, so then he's obviously not putting himself in the position now of buying qua melech. He's making an offer, and Navot is refusing the offer. It's a possibility. Tosfos has got a lot of possibilities. No. Tosfos says, maybe the idea over here is because he says, I want it for a gan. A gan means he wants it for Avodah Zarah, which would give greater meaning to the underlying lach with the nachalah. Nachalat avotai lach? This is what my nachalah is going to be. Chas v'shalom. Another possible teretz, says Tosfos, maybe that din is only said in terms of purchasing, but not of nachalah, which is why Navot is saying, Nachalat avotai, you don't have a right to take. Or, perhaps, and this is the most telling, or perhaps, says Tosfos, maybe the Parshat HaMelech is only on a real Melech, meaning someone who is Nimlach on all of Yisrael and Yehuda as a true Melech. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu has appointed him, going along with the Malchut, and it's emergent Malchut. You remember that Omri is politics. Achav is politics. It's all politics. Where in the world do we find that there's a din of Melech on a political Melech? Who made him Melech? So because he's a Melech on one little place, therefore becomes a Melech, who made him a Melech? And you'll notice that in the first pasuk, the strangest thing is that Achav is called Melech Shomron of all crazy things. Why is he called Melech Shomron, where for every single reference up until now, he's been Melech Yisrael? How to explain that? So according to Tosfos, the explanation is Pashat. The Diyak is, coming as Melech Shomron, he does not have the right to demand that Kerem. The most he could do is make an offer. That's a rather logistic explanation. The deeper explanation is that his Malchut is overs. The moment that the Navi had told him, you were given every opportunity, you could have synthesized things yourself. We gave you Nisim. All I asked you was to respond according to the level in which you were captured in. You didn't do anything. I sent him to you. We're going to see later on that this is a central theme in which if HaKadosh Baruch Hu is involved, you have no right to make any decisions based on your own immediate good-hearted chesed, which can become now a simple antithetical to Yisrael liberalism, just as it could have decayed at the time of Avram. And where did it decay? In Sodom. It's precisely where it decayed, which is why Lot went to Sodom. And what was the schut of the Malchut? Taking it out of Sodom and utilizing that decay to make it part of the nature of Malchut. So you people who derive now from the nature of Malchus David Yisrael, Chai V'Kayam, in which you came now to attack those failures, become now Malchei Chesed that can only lead to Sodom? It's overs. You have absolutely no validity. There's nothing behind you at all at this stage. Now you know what you are? The king of Shomron. Like the king of Yericho is the king of Yericho. A shnuk. That's what you are. A shnuk. So you want to be the melech of Shomron. So now, of course, as the melech of Shomron, this exposes his psychology. So now, as the melech of Shomron, what's he gonna do? He's gonna build up Shomron. And now Navot slaps him in the face, slaps him down. You'll remember what happened when he left as the last moment of Melech Yisrael, Sar V'Zaif, after hearing the horrible words of Michio. V'yavo Achav El Beito, Sar V'Zaif. Exactly the same words. So one way of explaining it is that, oh, really, he really is a schnook. Because all he can do is go locked up into himself and go to bed because he doesn't know how to deal with something, which is what he does. He ends up going to bed. He's so depressed. I mean, yes, that's one level. But the deeper level is that the Sar V'Zaif is indeed, as we saw before, the Ruach was Sar Me'elav. He recognized this. And now he feels this to be a further Sar V'Zaif. Not only was he removed of legitimacy by the deprivation of the Ruach Elohim, which refuses now to aid him, but not only that, people don't even respect him as a melech. So that Sar V'Zaif here is a deeper sense of failure, loss of everything. It's not just that he's angry. You know, he got involved in this silly little story of an argument with a neighbor, and now, like, this is the most important thing in the world. I can't function because Navot won't give me his kerem, and that turns him into a complete and total idiot. We're talking about a man who, until yesterday, was Melech Yisrael. He's not a complete and total idiot. So that means that what's happening is he's facing an absolute failure of his life's work, his family's work, of the tradition of Malchus Yisrael's work. He's looking at himself as the ultimate midlife crisis. So here he is now, Sar V'Zaif, and notice what he's Sar V'Zaif. Al Hadavar Asher Diber Alav Navot HaYisraeli. It wasn't from the fact, it was from the speech. It was from the way he said it. V'yom Eloi Tein Lecha Et Nachalat Avotai. That's what bothered him. Why do we bring that up? Because that's what he focused on. Why not just the fact that he wasn't going to get it? Why the fact that it was his Nachalat Avot that wouldn't go Lecha? Why do we quote him? Because obviously this is what's bothering him. So he's really broken. Vayishkav amitato, vayasev et panav, v'loach alechem. That word, vayasev el panav, we're going to see later on, when it comes to Malchut Yehuda, is the trigger of teshuvah. It's where you start looking into yourself and finding out what you did wrong. To him, it's to now be mechazek, his grand plans. And really, remember, he sees himself as the new Shlomo. Basically, having married into Tzur, taking 230 representatives of other countries, getting involved with his army all the way on the other side of the Euphrates. Who does he think he is? He thinks he's a master builder, a master of international politics. He's got everything worked out. He's absolutely a genius, and therefore Izebel sits right next to him because he's got Tzur wrapped under his fingers. That's what he's thinking. And therefore, this is exactly the moment of vulnerability in which Vatavo Elav Izebel Ishto. And so, she sure enough shows up. Vatavo Elav Mazeh. Notice that she looks at the word Sar. Mazeh Ruchacha Sara. You see? She picks up the fact that it is his whole sense of Ruach. You've got no spirit, honey baby. You're not even eating. What's going on? Vayedaber Eliyah, look how he changes the story. Vayedaber Eliyah. Well, I spoke to the Avot Yisraeli. The Omar law, all I said to him is, Tzalaliyat Karmecha, Bechesav HaNisan, as if I wanted something. I was going to pay. I even left all the options in his hands. I said, Im Chafet Sata, Tzalalacha Cherem Takta, I'll replace it for you, for God's sake. You know what he told me? I ain't giving you my kerem. That's not what he said. Well, what about the whole idea of the connection to the earth and the fact that this is my nachala, midore doros, we've been here for hundreds of years. I mean, not a word about that. I ain't giving my kerem to you. That's all that he's ever, to you, he stresses that. That's all he's ever hears. And so, I mean, lemaisa, it's all very nice to find the halakhic ramifications as Tosis is going into. What is it? Why is it? I mean, but the bottom line is, we are talking about an extremely enlightened kingdom. In other words, the same enlightenment which he thought lies behind the fact that the goyim will look at us and say, Malchei Chesed, the UN can expect great things from us. I mean, you wouldn't kill your enemy, would you? So too now is he an enlightened king who, if a subject refuses to sell, refuses to sell. What's he supposed to do? Well, look where his enlightenment brought him. Because the moment that it touched him, I mean, he thinks he's a king, so it touches him, and now, I mean, obviously, I wouldn't do anything illegal, honey bunch. We'll leave it to honey bunch. She'll take care of the legalities. Vatomer elav Izebel ishto. Oh, now we're talking about, yes, indeed. Yisrael. Okay, this is about time. You got to set yourself up as the king of Yisrael, not the king of Shomron. What are you? A schnook? The way I hear them talking? You get up and you be a good boy. You take a good drink. I'll take care of the little legal problems. Ani eten lecha et kerem navot ha-Yisraeli. We will handle the issues. You need know nothing. Hear no evil. See no evil. And when they ask you, you say, oh dear, it's that old Ezevil again. My secretary's fault.
There's 18 minutes to the tape.
So we face here two very, very different possible understandings of what happened. On one level, we can say that at the end of the previous parak, Vayelech el beito sar v'zaef vayavo shomrona, which is repeated here as Achav Melech Shomron, who goes into bed sar v'zaef, is talking about the conclusion of Malchut Yisrael in the sense of having any vision of Malchut. Maybe that's true. Maybe the fact is that he has now become a symbol, low class, being only interested in his own survival and expansion. Maybe. And when it says that he's now only Melech Shomron, it's because he's lost all sense of being a Melech Yisrael. And maybe he's just lying in bed depressed like any fool. That's one possibility. On the other hand, of course, we have that other possibility. He wants to expand out of being Melech Shomron into Yisrael, has built now an additional palace, specifically a real Heichal, which he wants now to expand in the direction of Aram, and where people can come in now to a big city, not a little mountain town, and find the international visions of the Tzur-related Achav. And he's miserable because Sar, the Malchut, has been taken from him. Sar v'Zaif, the Ruach, has been taken from him. And Ezevel notes that he's going downhill, and she wants to restore the Malchut to him. So we have two very, very different approaches, and it's fascinating that the Pasuk leaves open these two approaches. Perhaps that's the whole point. In other words, indeed what happened after, where we see this gradual destruction of his self-confidence and of his ability to act in a Malchut orientation, the point that the Pasuk is making is that when the Melech is left with that type of vacillation, he is indeed open to being just a depressed commoner, unable to address the Malchut. But that doesn't mean that the Malchut doesn't exist. It means that he has to be built up in order to be the Malchut. So what we see over here is really, on one level, it's the way in which we find things happening today. You lose Mamlachtiut. You become completely corrupted to being an absolute fool. And this is what we see in the government today. That you no longer, the level of corruption is far deeper than the power corrupts. It corrupts, meaning corrupts your ability to be anything but a persona of the lowest type. No longer Malchut. Once it's no longer Malchut, you've lost all of what was you before. And he really was a Melech before. He was a Melech Yisrael. Once you lose that, then you're left with an undeveloped self. He turns into a child, petulant, sar v'zaif. The petulance is indeed what, and we see this. You see this in government ministers. They're being willing to sell yourself for moments of sexual pleasure, a couple of bucks, or a nice article, or the anger in which, or the expectations, and that childishness. That's what you see, childishness. Again and again and again. Not simple corruption, stupidity, clowning. So on the one level, we've reduced them to a clown. On the other level, the Torah is giving over the sense of what he is thinking. What is he trying to recapture? What sense of significance is he looking for? What did he once have? What was taken from him? So in that sense, yes, he's the guy that wants to expand Shomron into an international presence in Israel. He builds a Heichal as a Heichal. We never thought, Heichal? Heichal for the Heichal HaMelech. And it should be open to Aram coming in from that direction, not to come through the hills to a city, nestled up in the hills. An international place where people can come from Tsur and can come from Aram, in which anybody who lands on the seashore comes right up to this main government center. It's a whole different vision, possibly. But that very possibility springs out the striking discrepancy in the man's life. Here was a builder, an international relator, one who we see, again, the Pasuk doesn't even make a point of this, it just takes it for granted. The man that is married into Tzur, who's talking about the woman who represents Tzur, and continues to represent Tzur. The whole malchus of Tzur is that the king is everything, we'll see later on. Yeah, you think you're God. Ezevel thinks the king is God. And now, on the other hand, because he no longer has that ruach, and because Eliyahu has stripped the possibilities from him, it's that very choice. We find the same thing with Ruth and Orpah. The moment you're given a choice, and you make the choice, you go all the way downhill. That's the point. Orpah was almost Ruth. So there she had gone, following and begging and crying, and it's kissing it goodbye that turns you into less than a whore. When she goes out and sleeps with these Plishtim and with the dog, you know, that's unbelievable. On one level, she's ahead of Ruth. It's Orpah Ruth. And on the other level, she's the mother of Goliath, Akelavanot. That's true. That's true of every human being. The choices which Eliyahu was the one who forced upon him. That's, remember, that's the whole idea. You guys have got to learn to choose. That's a very dangerous thing to do when people are not ready to choose. And at the moment that he saw, lo anu oto davar, they didn't answer. So he should have just said, go to hell and left. Instead, he puts on his whole little sound and light show, and you know, Abal Aneinu, and Hashem Aneini, Hashem Aneini, and all of this exciting, and that's what destroys him. I can't take it. My tricks don't work. It's just tricks. Exactly. Why bring it to that point? Look, every parent knows there's a point in which it's dangerous to push a child. So you want to let go of that point. Now, what's interesting is that the Medrash says b'feirush that that was exactly the issue of the Navot. Because the way the Medrash puts it is, you got to learn the right time for doing this. So we have over here, the Lush, I think I printed out the Medrash. Yeah, the Lush of the Medrash is like this. You always have to measure the Sha'ah. So there's many examples. The Sha'ah, why was Yaakov Karei Lebno Yosef? It's Lemi Sha'ah Sha'ah Omed Etlo. You see the person where it's his time. The Navi Shatz to Klal Yisrael. I mean, Baba Chadra. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, good. Just hide out for a little while. Tein makom l'sha'ah. Recognize when things are going against you and be a mensch. Don't try to force things. Navot lo natan makom l'sha'ah. Oh, he's going to sit there and he's going to say, well, I mean, after all, he's such a big liberal. Acha. I think he's an idiot. You want to be a liberal and I'm not selling. Go do me something. Not smart. Not smart. Because that type of liberalism, which is exactly true today, it's the very liberals who are the most dangerous of people, who won't hesitate to stop at anything, literally Nazis. They're always the most liberal. And it's exactly what happens now. And so Yisrael says, my little honey bunch, I am going to tell you how to be a king. Oh, you're going to get Kerem Navot Yisraeli, and you ain't going to pay a dime. But you know nothing. Vatichtov sifarim b'shem achav, vatachtom b'chotamo. An old story, heard those words. So she writes the letters, signs the letters with the signature of the king. The women can always take over from the king. Vatishlach sefarim el hazekenim ve'el achorim asher bi'iro hayoshvim et navot. And so she's able to send these, this is the kenim, the bahata, as we said, these are rishayim, ziknei ashmai is the lotion of chazal. Some zikenim, as the Gemara points out, Moshe Makshiva Dvar Sheker, we're going to see that this is the moment of the depth of Dvar Sheker. Kol Mishortav Rishaim. Everybody that you have to do with, they've appointed their type of people in every position, so that it's filled with Zikenim that you can trust to do wrong. And the Chorim is a lotion of Sarut, as we'll see later in the Chemia, who are there in town, and they live there with Navot, and they know. They know that Navot is a dangerous guy. They know that Navot speaks about the king. And so she writes Basfarim Lemor, Kirutzom. Oh, it's a very religious moment. It is time for us to fast, because after all, if you're going to be done Dinei Nefashot, you're going to be done Kilolat Hashem, Hoshivu et Navot Barosh Ha'am, take Navot, put him in front of everybody, Hoshivu Shnayim Anashim B'nei V'Liyal Negdo, and take two rotten idiots that you can trust to say sheker. V'ya'idu, this is where the Gemara we just had learns. What do we tell the Edim to make sure that they're not liars? You know, the guys that hire Edim to lie, think of them as being a bunch of idiots. Because she herself says, take two B'nai B'liyal. She say, take two good guys who know how to act. No. Take two stinkers. B'lemar b'rachta Elohim v'melech. You have cursed God and king. Of course, king and country, God and king. And indeed, the Torah puts them together, right? The Elohim lo tekalel v'nasi ba'amcha lo, it's very, very connected. And they're all ready to hear. I mean, after all, he made a point of saying, I ain't giving nothing to you or to the likes of you. That's what it sounds like. Votsiu v'siklu v'yomot. They take him out, and you take him out and stone him and make sure he's dead. That's exactly what they do. All the people come out as a kinim v'chorim. Asher yoshvim b'yiro, kasher shachar lehim izavah. They do exactly what she wrote. Nobody's going to stand up against izavah. Kasher katuv basvarim asher shachar lehim karutzom. They made it a big religious ceremony. Voshivu et navot b'rosh ha'am. They set him up there and on the stage. Vayavosh shnei anashim v'nei v'liyal. Vayeshvu negdo vayidu anshei ha'b'liyal. Three times. Et navot negedam lemor. Beirach navot Elohim v'melech. And so they kill him, and they send a letter back to Izevel. Sukal Navot, Vayomot. The skila has been accomplished. He's dead. Four times we repeat this. Vayikishmo Izevel ki sukal Navot Vayomot. Vatomer Izevel Achav. Honey bunch. Kum reish et kerib Navot. As you know, I mean, somebody who curses the king. It's a Murid B'malchus. The din of a Murid B'malchus is that the king gets to keep everything that's his. What a shame. Had he only cursed God, his heirs might have kept his. But too bad. Cursed you too, gee whiz. Go now, it's time for your Yerusha. Go be Rash at Kerem Navot HaYisraeli. It's actually a Machlokes. Whether Harugei Malchut is the Nechseim, we'll see later on, is the Nechseim to the state, to the Melech, or is the Nechseim Lior Shav? So if you hold like the Ban Yomer who says that Nechseim Lior Shav, he learns that Achav was the only surviving heir of Navot. So he took care of all of them. So now Kum Reish, after all, the man Asher Me'ein Latet Lecha B'Kesev, he wouldn't sell it to you for money, because unfortunately we've heard that poor Navot, Ein Navot Chai, and he's no longer amongst us. Ki Meit, the poor man, is no longer here. Vahiki Shmo Achav ki Meit Navot. Oh dear, really now, says Achav. Vayokom Achav laredet al kerem Navot HaYisraeli lirishto. Now he's not thinking of buying. He's making it his nachala. Vahi devar Adonai Elohim Yohatishbi Lemor. Even though I fired you, but you still had one job left, which is to get rid of Achav, as you recall. You haven't taken care of Yehu yet. So until then, we still can make use of you. Who knows where Eliyahu is? That's the point. Kum reid likrat Achav melech Yisrael asher b'shamron. Go down. So he's obviously up. Go down. He's in the Kerem Navot. He thinks he's going to be taking over. So you murder and now you inherit the victim, do you? Now speak to him and say to him, in the very place where the dogs lick the blood of Navot, they will be licking your blood too. Vayomer Achav el Eliyahu, ah, hametzat ani oivi, my enemy, you have found me, have you? Dastardly deeds again. Of course, he was the one that the last time we heard was looking all over the place for Eliyahu and couldn't find him. This time you found me, did you? Vayomer, I have indeed found you. Matzati, you got it right. I found you in your lowest moment. Yanit makercha lasot hara b'inei Adonai. You have sold your soul to the devil, Izevel. And therefore, because you have sold your soul, and of course that's the same lashon v'hit makartem sham lo'ivechem, where you sell your soul, that's basically the end of it. And of course, this is, we talked about the Yerushalmi long ago, of how Achav would actually sell in the sense of paying his values. How much am I worth today? Would ask the accountant. And then he would give that to Avodah Zorah. Hineni mevi elecha ra'a uviarti acharecha. The words that were said to Yeravam, these are the closing words of Malchut Achav. It's not bad enough that he was warned that he's finitoed, which we saw in the previous parak. This time I am going to uproot anything that's left. V'ichrati l'achav mashtin b'kir. V'yatzuv v'azuv b'Yisrael. V'natati et petcha kevet Yeravam b'nevat. You will be uprooted, every descendant murdered, nothing left. In exactly the same words that were used for Yeravam ben Nevat. And exactly what happened to Baasha when he continued the path of Yeravam ben Nevat. Elakas asherich asta v'atachati et Yisrael. To go out of your way, to get God angry, to be machti Yisrael. This last piece was intolerable. And a little message for Miss Witch. V'gam le'izevel, diber Adonai le'mor. Not that she's worth, but because of this story. Ha'kalavim yochlu et Izevel. Forget about the blood. Let the dogs nibble on Izevel. Bechel Yisrael, on the low wall around Yisrael. Let everybody see. Ha'meit la'achav ba'ir yochlu ha'kalavim. Those who die in the city will be eaten by the dogs. Of course, this is the lowest level. The absolute extreme in which Kelev is the remez. Lo yachrat Kelev l'shanot, the goddess of Yisrael. It's the dogs who will eat you. Dog food is what you're worth. V'hamet, and this is the joke that the Gemara makes, so to speak, about the orlot plishtim. So what good are orlot plishtim? How can you make a kiddush with orlot plishtim? Yeah, it's still good for dog food, isn't it? That's what you are, Achav. That's what your wife is, dog food. V'hamet l'achav ba'ir yochlu haklavim. V'hamet ba'sadeh. If the dogs aren't around the sadeh, there's still plenty of vultures around. Yochlu of hashamayim. Rak lo hayak yachav asher itmarker lasot hara b'nei Adonai asher hisato oto Izevel ishto. And indeed, the closing words on Achav. There was no one like Achav who had so handed himself over to the money, so to speak, the needs that he got. There was nothing like him until now. Because find those before him that had the agalot. They were afraid shelo yale ha'am Yerushalayim, in which they would lose the malucha. Here, there was no question of losing the malucha. They had an established malchut. There was a vision of the malchut. And this is what he needed to do to open up the doors to Tzur. He had to sell his soul to his Izevel. Vayatayiv ma'od lelechat acharei ha'gilulim. To go ahead now, to sell himself to Avodah Zarah. This is Chiyo. Chiyo was the one, in fact, that was his. Chiyo Beit Eli was the one that was his accountant. The one that would take the money for Avodah Zarah. The ones that B'davka went out of their ways to show we don't believe in old legends. K'chol asher asue amori, asher orish adonai b'pnei b'nei Yisrael. It's exactly the behavior. That was the point of Yetzias Mitzrayim, destroying the population in order to give it over to B'nei Yisrael. So this, he speaks in front of Achav. When Achav hears these words, he tears his clothing. He puts sackcloth. He starts fasting. And he lies at night in sackcloth. He walks around barefoot so that he can't even walk. He has to tread gingerly. So the Gemara says, remarkable, that he actually, the Medrash says, he had Yehoshaphat, the king of Yehuda, administer Malkut to him every single day, Ashkem V'arev, to beat him. The sense that, well, at least there's some Jews left in Yehuda. Of course, this is the classic masochist that we're talking about over here, in which there's maybe more fun in getting beaten than there was in doing the Aveir in the first place. And actually, the other man, the armor, says, well, now let's not exaggerate. You know what Vayatzom means? We used to have breakfast at 9, now we have breakfast at 10. No, I mean, that's Vayatzom. Here we are with Eliyahu HaTishbi looking at the tshuva word for word of Nineveh, which Yonah, who is Ben Amitai, which is Ben Eliyahu, who is Emet B'Picha, who says, I want to die with this kind of tshuva. The same Eliyahu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu throws it in his face. Vayid v'ad v'ayel Eliyahu HaTishbi le'mor nu ha'ra'ita, now you see? I was right. And you have to drag a guy through the mud and believe that he's hopeless and go out to destroy him. Here you see, Nichna Achav Milafanai. And Leo says, I don't believe it. Oh my God. Not another one of these liberal God business. You're going to accept his phony. It's exactly what Yonah says about Nineveh. Come on, it's all skin deep. Nothing is going to, what is it? It's about sackcloth. It's about tzom. As a matter of fact, the Gemara uses Nineveh, sackcloth, and tzom to point out the difference. The Gemara was not interested in sackcloth and tzom. It's Vayar Elohim et Maaseihem. That's what's important. It's how are you acting? And here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, kishitato all along, uses this as another kvetching Elio. So, I warned you. And how long are you going to keep being mikane? How long are you going to keep believing that people are beyond hope? And defining hope to be out of reach? This is what I like. Guy does tshuva. Gishmak. No, you see I'm right. Haraita, look at this. He finally gives in. And you know what? Yan ki nichnani panai lo aviyara abiyamav. Because he did teshuva, therefore he is not going to have to suffer. He's not going to see this in his own lifetime. And I was mekabel him. He's not going to witness the destruction of his family. The destruction of his family will come only be may beno, which means that he will have a son who is Yoshev Akiso. Tremendous. So it'll be a third generation to Omri. Great. Anyway, b'mei b'no avi hara'a al beito. But here we have HaKadosh Baruch Hu talking about his bayit, which is unbelievable. Of course, the other gezerot, yiloko haklavim et damo, that has to be him. I mean, obviously, there's no way to do that on b'no. But the gezerah of the destruction of every living descendant, that will take some time.